Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Morning, we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 17, Text 28. Svapna itam nripasukam paratantram isha. Shashpadayena mutakena duram vahama. Itva taratmani sukam paraniha labhyam. Visyamaheti kripanas tava maya yeha.
Selfless works.
Labhyam, to be obtained. Klishyamahe.
Klishyamahe.
We suffer. Ati.
Ati.
Extremely.
Extremely.
Vipana.
Vipana.
Wretched.
Wretched.
Tava.
Tava.
Your.
Your.
Mayaya.
Mayaya.
Illusory energies.
Illusory.
Iha. In this world. Translation. O Lord, with this corpse-like body, always full of fear, we bear the burden of the relative happiness of kings, which is just like a dream. Thus we have rejected the real happiness of the soul, which comes by rendering selfless service to you. Being so very wretched, we simply suffer in this life under the spell of your illusory energy. Translation, everyone together. O Lord, with this corpse-like body,
always full of fear,
we bear the burden of the relative happiness of kings,
which is just like a dream.
Thus we have rejected the real happiness of the soul, which comes by rendering selfless service to you.
Being so very wretched,
we simply suffer in this life under the spell of your illusory energy. After expressing their doubt in the previous verse, the kings herein admit that actually they are suffering because of their own foolishness, having given up the eternal happiness of the soul in exchange for the temporary condition, a conditional happiness of the so-called of a so-called kingly position. Most people make a similar mistake, desiring wealth, power, prestige, aristocratic family, and so on, in exchange for their own soul. The kings admit that they have fallen under the spell of the Lord's illusory energy and have mistaken the tremendous anxiety of political leadership for happiness. Tat nāyitam vipasukam paratantram isha shashvat bhayenam takenam dhuram vahama hitva tarapman sukam paraniha labhyam tisyamahet kitanas tadbhuyaya eha. O Lord, with this corpse-like body always full of fear, we bear the burden of the relative happiness of kings, which is just like a dream. Thus we have rejected the real happiness of the soul, which comes by rendering selfless service to you. Being so very wretched, we simply suffer in this life under the spell of your illusory energy. So, as explained in the purport, it seems that now the kings who previously were confused about their position and the position of Jarasandha. Jarasandha, of course, had captured these kings, and there was mention that he had made a pledge to Mahabharata that he would sacrifice, or was it 100,000, the bodies of 100,000 kings as an offering to his Lord. So here he had captured 20,000 kings and imprisoned them. So now these kings are through their messenger, pleading with Lord Krishna to save them. And they were confused. In the previous verse, it was stated that they couldn't understand how they were imprisoned, and Jarasandha was imprisoning them when they were pious, and Jarasandha was very sinful. How is it that this can happen? So they were confused. And this, of course, is something that most people of the world are confused about. Some people, I remember being at in Mumbai, where there was one lecture being given by the devotees. They were going there to give a lecture at one of the universities. And the topic was why good things happen, why bad things happen to good people. So the people can't understand. One time in Jakarta, I remember, also one lady, her husband was a big executive in one of the big factory there. And she organized a program that the devotees come there and have kirtan and have lecture and prasadam and everything. So we all went and she was very happy. Everything went very nicely. But then after a few days she came to the temple and she said, "Swami, I cannot understand. I've done so many nice things in service to God. I organized the program. But now, after just a few days, I have lost my job. How is it that I cannot understand that?" So I was explaining that she was a bit emotional and upset. But then after a week, she came back again to the temple and said, "Swami, now I'm very happy. I've got a better job." So people got very short-sighted. They're very short-sighted, not with a far vision. Sometimes God is like a father. He is the Supreme Father. So with a father, when the children, sometimes they want the lollies or the ice cream or something like that, but the father, "No, you already had so much ice cream. If you have any, you'll be sick." But the children, they're crying. "This boy, is daddy so mean? He doesn't give me ice cream." The father, he's not being mean. He is just thinking for the child, the long term. Now if I give him, he'll be happy, but later he'll be sick. So God is like that. He is like the Supreme Father. He is looking after us. What we think is good for us, or what we think is bad for us, the understanding of that is very limited and very relative to our subjective experience, which is limited. We think something is good, or conversely, we think something is bad. So what we think is good, maybe not so good, and what we think is bad, maybe not so bad. Like that lady lost her job, and then she got the better job. So when she lost her job, it was very bad. But actually, she got the better job, actually it was good. But she, at the time, she didn't see. She didn't see, because she was just thinking in a very short term. This is called the Srayas and Prayas. Prayas means the short-term result. What is the short? Most of us are interested just in the short-term result. Or at least when we become adults, we're interested a little bit more long-term. Just like the children. They're playing 1 minute to the next. They're just thinking. Now I'm enjoying. They're not thinking even 1 hour from now or 2 hours from now. If you tell them, if they want to do something now, you say, "No, you can do it later this evening." Even that's too long. "Now, why I have to do it like I want to do now? Even 3 hours from now, that's too long." They yell and they scream and they throw tantrum. And I was one time with a god brother a long time ago, and he had a young son. We took him to the beach. Everyone went to the beach. And his son wanted to go and do something with the board or something like that. His father said, no, maybe later I will take it. But the son kicked his leg and screaming in front of him. Even 1 hour later he can't walk. Why? Because the attention and the focus of the child is very limited by the body, by the mind of the living entity in that particular situation. By the karma, he is living like that. We are just so conditioned by just a spot on the road of our so many lives. We are going on a road, and we have a long distance to go, but there's a spot and we just stop and we just pay all that we want, go to the destination. We just get sidetracked here and just thinking of what is coming now. But when one grows older, of course, one is naturally expected to think a little bit more long-term. Instead of 1 hour from now, or next tomorrow, or the next week, you're supposed to think 1 year, or what is my future, 5 years. But even that, as adults, we think, "Oh, that is a long time. I'm planning. I'm very intelligent. I'm planning for 20 years or 30 years ahead. I'm very responsible." Even that, from the viewpoint of eternality, is very just short time. Very, very short time. So if we think something is going to be good for us in the next 1 or 2 or 5 years, it may not be. Or something, on the, as I said, conversely, something is very bad, or this is very bad, it may not be. But God sees all these things. And He knows you. He knows all of us. He knows all of us better than we know ourselves. What we can remember from the former life, or so many lives, we don't know. But God knows. He knows. He knows so many of your former lives, and He knows now. He knows, as you're acting, He knows what will be the situation. He is trying to bring everyone back home, back to God. But of course, He gives just according to the desire and the reactions that are meant to come. Ultimately, you know, I was in this room when Prabhupada was asked one question about the karma and everything. Because one person asked, your divine grace, he said, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, everyone follows my path. Meaning that everyone is going to God. Prabhupada said, yes, they are following, but I can, just like the skyscraper building, I can go by the stairs to the top floor, or by going on the elevator, I can go very quickly. So he said that, yes, according to your actions, you are going slowly or quickly. Of course, if you take to the Krishna consciousness, you can go to the top of this Krishna consciousness, the quickest to liberate action from the world. So Prabhupada answered like that. So as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So this is Krishna. He is acting like that. So the kings are thinking the same way. Most people, as I said, most people think like they are the bad thing. I've been a good person. Why it is happening to me? Well, you're being a good person now, or maybe in the last 1 year, or even in one life, but in the other life, you mustn't have been a good person, because now you are having to get some suffering. You see? Why are you suffering? Because somewhere you were not a good person in this life, or the previous life, or the one before that. The karma is coming, not just over one life. Sometimes the karma is so much, it cannot fit all in one life. It has to come in one life, and has to come the next life after that. You've got your karma coming from many lives. And as you react now, you're getting also more karma. So it cannot just be one life, so much karma. Some people, you know, they have so much karma coming. Just like the Prabhupada one time, he told us that the leaders of the society, the president or the kings, they have to get not only their own karma, but that, you know, one sixth of the karma of all the people of the country. If you accept the post of the leader, you have to get, because you are leading them. This they don't understand. Maybe they wouldn't be so. John Howard wouldn't be wanting to go so far, and Kevin Rudd wouldn't be so much wanting to rush into them if they understood. They understood this. Yes, you can go. No problem. You want to go? Yes, go. But you have to get 1/6 of everyone's karma here in Australia, in this country. Whatever they come, you have to get 1/6, because you are the leader. You are responsible. The proper choice, 1/6. So, so much karma. Imagine one living entity is getting so much karma. How many millions, you know, and the Singh in India, Prime Minister? Huh? 1 billion people karma? One of the leaders, I forget who it was, one of the Prabhupada told us that one of the leaders, he was in the coma. Who was that? He was in the coma? Huh? Churchill? And in the Prabhupada, we asked about the coma, why is someone in coma? He said, oh, he's got so much reaction, they are just taking their time to work it. They're leaving him there for a while. And then where are they going to take him? So we have to think about these things. You want to be the leader of the country or something like that? Oh. But of course, if you are very good, you can elevate everyone. Or if the people are very good, then you can benefit from their karma. You know, if they're getting the good karma, you benefit. So it goes both ways. If the people are very good, you benefit all those people, you benefit. The people are very sinful, you suffer. Or mix some good, some suffering. Like that. You have to accept. We have to understand that the karma is like a very complicated. What is the karma? People, they get in anxiety, they're feeling depressed, they're feeling low. Let me go to the psychologist, the psychiatrist for analyzing. But can they analyze what had happened in the former life? The life before that, life before that? How do they know these things? Or something happened in your childhood? Yes. Let's speak, and you will be relieved. Yes, well, in the childhood, but what about so many things happened in his former life or her former life? Can they go? No, they can't. They don't know, they don't accept these things. But this is a fact. This is a fact. So the karma, one life, many lives. So if something, if you are suffering in life, then you have to understand, I did something bad and I'm getting some suffering. Now for a devotee, of course, he doesn't get the karma that is normally given to the materialists. That karma is, when one becomes a devotee, then that karma is absolved. But you are under Krishna, and Krishna, he sometimes gives you, he sees what your former karma was, and he is engaged in devotional service, yet he is getting a little off the track. Let me give him some. What was he? Let me see what he's doing. Oh, yes. He did like, well, I will give him a little bit here just to push him back on the track again, to teach him lessons. So Krishna is giving sometimes some reaction. That's why, as you see, sometimes devotees, they have to go through some suffering of the body or the mind or something like that. It's not exactly like the karma of the materialist, but Krishna is giving direct, whereas the karma of the materialist is coming under, you know, from the material energy, from under the arrangement. Not so direct, indirectly. Not directly from Krishna himself, but through the agents of Krishna. So finally here, the kings are realizing. First of all, they were confused. Why Jarasandha? He is mean, he is cruel. Jarasandha had a reputation. He is very strong, Jarasandha. No one could defeat him practically. Only maybe Kamsa. Kamsa was the only one. Jarasandha had been traveling around and had conquered all the kings. And he went to the Mathura area, and his idea was to conquer also Kamsa. And Jarasandha had previously conquered this elephant. So what is it? Kuvalaya Pita. The elephant. He was a very famous elephant, this Kuvalaya Pita. He was like, it took Jarasandha, I think he used 100,000 soldiers just to capture this one elephant. There's a description in the Puranas like that this Kuvalaya Pita was such a powerful elephant. No one could capture. He was just wild. Trampling, running amok everywhere. There was some story of a former life that he was up in heaven. His parents got cursed to be birthed and born as a big elephant like that. But anyway, Jarasandha captured him, and he used to take him anywhere for fighting in his battles. And at night time, when he went to Mathura, he camped on the other side of Yamuna from where Kamsa was. So just at that time, Kamsa was having a big festival. And Jarasandha camped on the other side. He kept Kuvalaya Pita chained at night, because he was so powerful, chained. But then one night the elephant broke free from his chains, and running, trampling everyone, he went across the other side of the Yamuna and went into the festival of Kamsa. He was running and trampling everyone. Kamsa stood up, he grabbed that Kuvalaya Pita by the trunk, swung him around and threw him back over the other side of the Yamuna and landed right at the feet of Jarasandha. Boom. Jarasandha, of course, was very... He was like, whoa. His idea was to conquer Kamsa, and he'd taken 100,000 soldiers to capture this one elephant. Then when he saw what Jarasandha, what Kamsa just threw the elephant at his feet, he said, oh, I better not fight with this fellow. So that's when he made an alliance. He actually came and he offered his daughters, Asti and Prapti, in marriage to Kamsa. And we know that Hasti and Pati became the wives of Kamsa. That's why Jarasandha later on was so angry at Krishna, because Krishna had killed Kamsa and made his daughters widows. So he was very angry at Krishna. So only Kamsa was that powerful. But Jarasandha was so powerful he conquered everyone. So the kings had been in prison. Why are we suffering? We were good. He's mean. He's cruel. Now they're realizing, oh, it is the result of our own foolishness in this life or the previous life. Here is mentioned. The kings here admit that they are suffering because of their own foolishness. Their own foolishness, just being absorbed with this corpse-like body. We are thinking, we are kings, and we have power, and we have to rule the country and engage in politics and do all these things. And this is our duty. This is our life. This is our happiness. They were thinking. They were identifying themselves as kings, and identifying with their corpse. And here they say, very interesting, corpse like, because the body without the soul is actually a corpse. But people think themselves the body. I was just reading an interesting story that recently one man, there was a funeral. People were attending a funeral in America, Florida. And the man had died and they were attending the funeral. So all of a sudden some man came in and went up to the corpse and punched the corpse. And everyone was shocked and horror. And later on he was still angry with that man. And he thought that, you know, even he's dead, I'm going to... So, so much identifying, the person is gone. This was just a corpse there, but that man was identifying with that body. He went and he punched him. So much identification we have with this body. Even we're devotees, still we're identifying. We're not on the pure devotional service level, totally thinking about the soul as who we are. So here it is mentioned like that. The kings are thinking, they've had some realization. Sometimes Krishna gives us real, even though we're confused, Krishna very kindly from within and clears up the confusion. Even at the next moment we're confused, and then even a moment later we can be free from that. We can be free from that anxiety. Krishna is so kind from within, or somehow or other he makes arrangement that someone comes and clears the confusion. So the kings had a realization. They had the realization. Our problem is that we've been identifying ourselves as kings, and we've been acting in that way. But we are under the spell of Maya. Just like when someone's under a spell. Here it is mentioned that we were like in a dream. We were like in a dream. Dream-like situation. When someone has a dream, then a dream is not very long. Even though it can be enjoyable or can be a great suffering, it's not very long. So the king, we were thinking, oh, I am a king, we are doing these things, but it's illusion, because they've had a realization. They were kings, they were engaged in so many activities, they were enjoying in so many ways, but now all of a sudden, they're imprisoned by Kamsa. So just like that, can be gone. Just like that. So we can't get attached to things in the material world, because like that, I was reading about this that guy who... That crazy Johns, the big businessman who came from humble beginnings and emigrated with his parents from Turkey or something like that, and grew up in Australia and then built up a big empire through the mobile phones and everything like that, became a multi-millionaire, million, hundreds of millions of dollars he had. But at just a relatively young age of 40 or something like that, he was just walking and had a heart attack, all gone. So, at any moment, you can be in the top and at any moment finish. So, what is the use of being overly attached? We have to do our duty in the world, we have to do all these things. But don't be overly attached, because only a fool would be so attached. If someone gave you something and said you only have it for a few weeks, you wouldn't get so attached. You can use it for a few weeks. Here's my car, you can use my car for a few weeks. You wouldn't get overly attached, because you know, after a few weeks, you know, you have to give it back. So similarly, we have this body, but only lasts. We have this body only lasts for a certain amount of time, and whatever comes with the, as far as the karma, whether it comes with this body, you're a king or you're a this or that, only is going to last a certain amount of time. So now the kings here, they're thinking in this way. Oh, yes, we were thinking we're kings, but actually it's a dream. It's a dream. It's like a dream. It's so short. Our lives is king. The happiness is king. That is also short. Dream. But why would anyone become attached to what happened in a dream? Just imagine if you had a dream last night and then you woke up, oh, you know, dream, yeah, I'm going to live my whole life like that. It was a dream. You know, it was a dream. So don't be attached to the dream. Only a foolish person would be attached to a dream and try to live the dream. People talk like that, I want to live the dream. But it's a dream. But people do like that. Why? Because they're under the spell. It's like, you know, someone puts a spell, you know, you have your black magic or something. Someone wants to come along and puts a spell on you. Then when you're under the spell, you're not acting like your normal self. You've been put under the spell. A spell means you're not acting like your normal self. So when we're living in the world thinking, I'm a king, I'm a this, I'm a that, we're not acting in our normal state. We are none of these things. We are the spirit soul. So therefore, we are under the spell of mind. Utkraman samstitam babi bunjanam bhagavanam vimuranam pasivigana chakrutra. We are thinking so many things, but actually we are just vimudas, fools. You are a fool, thinking. Why? Why are you so attached? You have to wake up out of that. But because of the spell of Maya, she's got us under her spell. We are very much intrigued by that spell. We've been under the spell for so long, we think it's normal. That's normal. So, by Krishna's grace. Now, normally, people don't wake up out of this spell. Normally, they're living in a dream, life after life after life. And they never wake up. So this Maya is so powerful. They don't wake up. You keep someone in a dream, in a spell. Just imagine someone, a very powerful witch or something like that. And she puts you under the spell. And for years and years and years and years under the spell. Whole life, your whole life she's got you under the spell. Just imagine. That you have to be pretty powerful. So Maya is so powerful. Not only one life, but many lives you're under the spell, acting not in your normal state. So this is a situation. 99% of the world is like that. Living, going here and there, doing so many things, under the spell, in illusion. Most of the people. So someone, something very powerful has to be there to wake us up. Nighttime is very dark. And you know, you can turn on a few lamps and this or that, but it doesn't really do, you know, just like they're very proud in so many countries that they have the stadiums with the big floodlights, and then, you know, they flood with the stadium with light, and then they can play the soccer or the football or the cricket or something. In the dark, even they're playing like it's light, just like light here. But, you know, sometimes when you're flying in the plane and you just see some light there in the stadium and you look around in the dark sky, it's not really that significant. Even though when you're under it, you think, oh, it's so powerful. These lights are so powerful. Look, it's just like day here. It's only a small little thing over here. But what is power? When the sun comes up, immediately the dark is gone. Immediately. You cannot conquer with just a few little small lights, the dark. But when the sun, the dark is immediately conquered. Immediately. Gone. So when the sun, Pasyanti Jnana Chakshu, we have when the light of the sun, of the light of Krishna, comes up within our hearts. And of course, in Krishna, in the powerful Acharya comes, just like Srila Prabhupada. In the Western world, especially, who knew about Krishna, or who knew about the spiritual life, or anything like that? No one knew. Who was being brought out of the darkness of the illusion? Even they heard about the yoga or something. You know, it's just like we are devotees. By the mercy of Prabhupada, we have come out. By his books, by his presence, by his instructions, by the representatives of Prabhupada. Krishna is working powerfully through the Guru, the Acharya. We're very indebted. So even we are in the dream for so many lives, we get immediately brought out. Immediately. Otherwise, not possible. We will stay. We will stay. So here the kings are saying that, we have had prestige in our life. We have identified with the prestige, you know, all these things. Janmeshwara, Shuddha, Shribi. Generally in life, we become very much affected by Janmeshwara, Shuddha, Shribi, by learning of the material world, Shuddha. You know, people are very attached. You know, I have gone to the university and I have done the postgraduate study, and now I am not only the BA, I am the MA, I am the PhD, and now I am identifying with all these things. And thinking that this is who I am. I am a BA. I am an MA. Or I am a PhD. I am these letters. That is me. Who are you? I'm a PhD. Is that who you are? Yes, I'm the PhD. So, learning, we become so affected. Beauty. I am a very beautiful woman. Is that who you are? Yes. I'm a very handsome man. Just see my muscles. Is that who you are? You're very good. Then after a few years, then the beauty is gone. You know that story of liquid beauty. Where is it? Where is her beauty? Here. Tell another time. Someone was telling me, actually, who is close to the industry, someone was telling me that the models, you know, all the beautiful models of the world, they are the most insecure. That are working in that industry with that. The models are always in anxiety and most insecure. Why? I said, why? They're models, they've got riches, they've got everything. Why are they like that? Because they're always in anxiety when they're going to lose their beauty. When's it going to be over? Will it last another 5 years or 10 years? Maybe if I put this cream in this thing, then I can go a little bit longer with the beauty. But they're always in anxiety. When's the beauty gone? So I am this beauty. I am this. So Shuta, Shibi, Janma, Aishwara, and money. Everyone in the world, especially we see. The greed principle is becoming very strong now. How much money? Everything is now for money. What do they call the present of the Y generation? I don't know who named it. Generation Y, the young generation. They are said to be the most greedy of all the generations. All they're thinking is money. I don't think other things. How to make money is the most important. Money is God to them. They don't want to understand God. But money. If you speak money, that is God. We worship that. This man's got money, I worship him. Why do you worship him? Because I want that money. More money. If someone's got a lot of money, well, we're very impressed. Oh, he has so much money. What a man. What a woman. So much money. They can be the most rascal if they have money. Oh, they all of a sudden they're respectable. All of a sudden. So money, running after, running after, and do anything in the name of money. So identifying with money. Wealth. So people identify, I am this money. Without this money, I don't have identity. If you don't have money, you're so insecure. But there's money equals happiness, is it? Beauty equals happiness. Learning equals happiness. Is it necessary? That means the richest people in the world, they're the happiest people in the world. Or the most beautiful people, they're the happiest. The most learned intellectual, they're the happiest people in the world. Is it? No. Not like that. Or Janma, birth, high family, big family. You come in the big family. Big Brahmin family, or big aristocratic family, royal family. I am, who are you? I am such and such. My name is such and such. What is your Godfrey? Oh, hi Godfrey. So we identify all these things. So the king is the same. We identify with all these. Prestige. All these things plus prestige. All these things added together is prestige. Prestige means you have a nice house, you have a nice car, you have a nice job. You have a nice wife, look at my wife, look at my husband. I live in a nice neighborhood. I send my children to a nice school. My children also going nicely, and the education is very nice. He has just finished his degree. It's all prestige, isn't it? So people live for prestige in the world. Live for prestige. But all illusion at any moment, gone. You have all the prestige, you have good reputation because of your prestigious position. At the moment, they'll be gone. Who was just put in the jail? Some big personality. All of a sudden, he's put in the jail. He was before the big prime minister or something, and then he was put in the jail. Or king, or the, just like Benazir Bhutto's father before, right? He was the prime minister, then he was hanged, wasn't it? Was he in Pakistan? Before he was hanged. So before, 1 minute, prime minister, next minute, hanged. So at any moment, so when one is a devotee, he has to think very strongly about these things. We have to think very strongly philosophically. The tendency is just to be conditioned and to identify, get emotional about all these things. But then you suffer. So then you have, therefore, reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, we are reminded philosophically. What is the actual position? Even though we may not have full realization of these things. We don't have full realization of we are actually the soul. We have, at the moment, we're just beginning devotees perhaps, and we have theoretical. So therefore, you know, we are thinking, but then we get affected. So therefore, we have to read Srimad Bhagavatam every day. The Prabhupada wanted every day reading Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, to remind us. One time he said, in Bhagavad Gita, there's only need of one instruction. Savaramam prityagyamam ekamsam. It's the man in all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. There's only need of one instruction. All the other instructions are there just to convince your mind to do it. Just to do it. We hear all these things, but we're not doing. We're so stubborn. But nevertheless, Krishna continues. He gives instruction. He is very patient. He's very patient. He'll continue, and he will send his representatives to bring the conditioned souls back to the path of the devotional service. So, this is the real happiness. We have rejected real happiness, as the kings say here. What is that real happiness? Happiness of the soul. Now, here, in the purport is mentioned, people give up their eternal happiness of the soul in exchange for the temporary conditional happiness of life in the material world. The real happiness is within us. We as the soul. That is real happiness. A person who has happiness within, he doesn't need so many things without. He is satisfied everywhere. There's a Prabhupada, he came here one time, and
and said like that. The reporter said, "How do you like Australia, Divine?" "Oh, I like it everywhere." He said like that. "Oh, what's the difference? One country, other country. If you're within your happiness, what is it? One country, other country. What is the difference? Everywhere is the same for you. Your happiness is within. So then, your happiness is within. That is real happiness. And the other external happiness, that comes and goes. Comes and goes. Sometimes there, sometimes not there. So the intelligent man thinks, well, why should I be trying to run after this one? Sometimes there, sometimes gone. Let me hold on to the eternal happiness. This is intelligence. Being so wretched under the spell, the kings say, we simply suffer. But one wants to come out of suffering, which is natural. Then one has to go back, or come back to the point of selfless devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Uninterrupted, unmotivated devotional service. That gives satisfaction to the self. That is the secret of being happy, coming to the original position of devotional service and selfless. Now in Kali Yuga, people are becoming more and more selfish. Just thinking about themselves, not caring about anyone else. But the pure devotee, he is not thinking about, he just wants to render. He is coming to God out of love. He is not coming to God asking for something. Out of love he is coming. That is the top notch. Alright, I'll read this verse again. Anyone has any question or comment? O Lord, with this corpse-like body, always full of fear, we bear the burden of the relative happiness of kings, which is just like a dream. Thus we have rejected the real happiness of the soul, which comes by rendering the selfless service to you. Being so very wretched, we simply suffer in this life under the spell of your illusory energy. Any questions? Yes.
It seems that when people get put in a situation where they're miserable, then a Krishna consciousness comes to the realm. However, when the situation gets relieved, then very often they forget about it. So, what mechanism is there to help one overcome that kind of tendency and to think, well, things are better now?
They have to become fixed by continuing to. That is just like children. We're spiritually, we're like children. Although we're grown up, we're adults. But spiritually, we're still like children. You're happy, and the next minute you're crying, and then when your crying is resolved, then you forget how that eventuated, and you go back to your. So that is your immaturity. You are like that because of your immaturity. So therefore you have to engage in activities that will bring you to a more mature realization of your actual position, and that's recommended there by the acharyas. You keep following the principles. Make sure you're practicing the principles of Krishna consciousness. By practicing the principles, by chanting your rounds, by following the regulative principles, by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita regularly, then you will overcome the tendency to always go back and forward in an immature way. You'll become more mature in your Krishna content just by following those things. Therefore Prabhupada requested like that, you follow. Yes, please. Well, Kamsa actually travelled around and conquered actually many other kingdoms as well as Mathura, and brought many powerful asuras, all those asuras Putana and all the Aristasura, all those asuras were conquered by Kamsa. They were in different kingdoms, and he brought them, and they became all the wrestlers, Chanura, Mushtika, Tal, Sota, Kota, all the brothers. They were in. He had travelled around and conquered. So I haven't read any reference, but it must have been that they were just leading the line. They were so powerful. They were recognized as the emperors of the world.
So you're aware of the chronology of who was in power and nothing for the time? Was it Duryodhana, his father?
No, not Duryodhana yet. Comes out of it. Well, if you just think about it, that Krishna killed Kamsa at what age? Yeah, so it couldn't have been Duryodhana who was up there in Hastinapur yet, right? He was still a boy. Now, Krishna came, he was just 10 or 11 years old when he came to Mathura and killed Kamsa. So, given that Duryodhana was around about the same age as Krishna, then he was just a boy, so it must have been Pandu.
Maybe before Pandu was in the forest.
Huh?
Yeah,
could have been, yeah. Pandu went later on in the Himalaya, right? But still, you know.
Pandu was very powerful.
So it comes from. So generally, when few powerful personalities around, they sometimes fight, or sometimes they just leave each other alone. Seems to be in the case with Kamsa. The Kauravas up there in the Hastinapur. You don't read that they came down and challenged him or anything like that. Yes. The leaders have to. Oh yeah.
The leaders.
Well, yes, of course. Leaders benefit from the good activities of the citizens. They benefit, and so the karma means both good and bad activities. So if the citizens are performing good activities, they get a sixth of that. The citizens are performing bad activity, they get a sixth of that. But the devotees in their kingdom are doing devotional service. Oh, they get it. If the leaders if the devotees are being harassed and the disturbance is great for the devotees, they have to suffer that. So yes, definitely they benefit by our activities. And that they give facility, then they benefit even more. So they benefit or suffer the activities of the materialists, and they benefit or suffer by the activities of the devotees. If they facilitate that, then that is very good for them. If they give hindrance to that, then they will suffer. Yes, yes.
As you were mentioning, sometimes because we have so little faith in Krishna, it is possible, as you said, to know that certain bad, so called bad things are really not bad, and the good things are really not that good. Mm. But at the same time, because we are caught in the material activities and you have to perform, you have to take a decision. So, how do we align this decision such that, despite knowing that we are caught in the material energy, how do we take a decision?
Well, there are general instructions that to be followed by all. In other words, and in the Vedic times there were Varnashram. Now Varnashram meant you have your Varna, you have your Ashram, so you have to follow the. Don't be attached to your activities. You just have you know how to act by just following your Dharma. You just follow your Dharma, your Svadharma it's called. The Sanatana Dharma and Svadharma. Your Svadharma means if you're a Vaishya, you just follow what are the duties of the Vaishya. Sometimes bad things happen, good things happen, doesn't matter, just keep following. And what are the duties? They are in the Shastras, in the Bhagavatam, it means other Shastras also mention. So if you're living in that way, of course you're a devotee, you're following the devotee's life. If you're not directly a devotee, you're living outside, normally the society would have varnashrama, and they would be followed. So someone's a brahmana, good things, bad things happen, doesn't matter, just keep following the prescribed duties of the brahmana. Done. So in this way there are general instructions. Well, in this way you can go on in your life and remain relatively unaffected, because good things, bad things, doesn't matter, I'm following my duty. I have my duty to do here. I should not give up my duty because of some bad thing happened or some good thing happened. I should, whatever happened, good or bad thing, I'll just keep following very steadily. So what is your decision? Well, you have your duty in life. You have to try to the best of your ability to fulfill that duty. If you're a devotee, good things, bad things, that is just see as Krishna's mercy. Just continue on following your duty in Krishna consciousness. And try to remain fixed on that. So these are the general instructions to be followed. And more specific instruction, you can go and ask your guru, you can ask other devotees, what is their opinion. Sometimes you read in the Shastra also. All these things you can, or if you want to become, you know, more specifically. But generally, that is the instruction. Jai O Glorious Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Srila Radha Vallabha Ki Jai, Gaur Tamandi.